Welcome back to Talking Art, sponsored by Quad City Bank and Trust. My name is Ben Goujon with Quad City Arts. And I know I say this every week, but this week it's really true. I'm so excited to be talking to the owner and curator of one of Rock Island's most memorable establishments, Roztox. And I am here today with Benjamin Fox. Benjamin, welcome to Talking Art.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really am excited to have you here because from the time I moved to Rock Island and first experienced Roztox, I was like, man, this place is great.
Like, yeah, where'd you move from?
I had been living in New York. And so
I get that a lot with people moving from bigger areas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, I was reading, you have on your website the definition of Roztox as a noun, which is a listening bar, cafe, performance venue, gallery, culture cell, guest house, cinema, club. A virus whose ultimate goal is to constantly mutate to avoid becoming part of mainstream culture. And I was thinking about that, and I was like, it's vibe. Like, Roztox is vibe in so many ways. So I would love to hear from you, you know, as the person who created Roztox, like, what was the origin of it?
Well, I will preface this with saying that I did not create Roztox, the concept,
the entity,
the term, the name.
Yeah.
That was Gary Panter, and all due respect to Gary Panter for that.
Yes.
But the physical space, I don't know. Some people, when they come in for the first time, get confused as to what it is.
Yeah.
You know, and they ask the question, like, what is this place? And more often than not now, I tend to just say it's something different for every single person. Some people just go there to drink beer. Some people just go for tea. Some people come for the movies. Some people come for the shows. And some people come to study. It's just like, it's not one thing, you know, it's not a bar or a music venue. It's a lot of different things, as the description states.
Well, and that's, I was talking to a friend on my way here, and he was asking who I was interviewing, and I said you. And one thing I said about Roztox is, I was like, whenever I go there, I don't always know if whoever's performing or what's going to be on the air is to my taste or for me, but I know it's always going to be interesting, and it's always going to keep me a little off balance and surprise me.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's so unique in not just the Quad Cities, but in a lot of places.
Sure. Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So kind of going back to, I guess, when you started Roztox, what's this? Because I know there is a story behind that and kind of your history with it.
Yeah. Well, it started in South China with a space called Loft 345, which was my first physical space that is very similar to Roztox and what it does, what it provides for people, the services and the atmosphere and environment. And a regular customer at Loft 345 came in one day with a self-screen printed shirt that said Roztox on it. And I was like, what's that? That's cool. What's that?
Yeah.
What's that mean? So he introduced me to the Roztox manifesto, which you can read online.
Yep. I've got it here. We're going to talk about it a little more later.
And then, you know, hipped me to Gary Panter's work, which I had not known previous to that. And then when I, random circumstances and what life brought me back here.
Sure.
To my hometown. And after running my own space, there really wasn't any other option for me as far as work. I needed to continue doing that.
Sure.
I can't work for people. I can't have a boss. So my mother and I opened Roztox in 2011. And at that time, there was no name for it yet.
Yeah.
And I was playing with different names. They're all really stupid. I'm not going to mention them now. But I remembered this shirt that my friend screen printed, a different shirt than the Roztox one, but I was like, oh, that'd be a cool logo, and it's the Cupcake Eater logo.
Yeah.
And he was screen printing those and selling them in Loft, you know, like $10 a shirt or something.
Yeah.
I was like, that'd be a cool logo. And then I started thinking about my friend, that friend, and then Roztox just like popped into my head. I was like, oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Because nobody knows. No, I mean, very few people know what that means.
Right.
And I can build this place, this brand, I guess, from scratch, you know, with this name that's fresh.
Right.
For people, even though it's been around since the late 70s.
Right.
But yeah.
Well, and that's...
And then Roztox was built out of that.
And Roztox was built. And you do all sorts of things there. Like you said, like, there's music, there's film screenings, mm-hmm. there's DJ nights, there's mm-hmm. poetry, there's artwork, and there's delicious food and beverages as well. I can attest to that. You know, I was reading through the Roztox manifesto, and I don't know Gary Panter. I'm not mm-hmm. familiar with his work outside of that. But, you know, I think... You know, he talks about the avant-garde a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think for me coming up in the theater world, you know, there's kind of a very, and maybe this is in my education and not in the formal definition, but like the avant-garde was kind of the theater of like the late 50s and 60s when people were really exploring the bounds of stage and what theater meant.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks so much about avant-garde not being set mm-hmm. and it just being kind of this ever evolving mutation mm-hmm. of form and what it is and style,
mm-hmm.
which I really connected with.
Yeah.
You know,
not being boxed in by any like,
right.
You know, norms or standards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it makes me think of sometimes when I see, I'm a huge Samuel Beckett fan.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. And he, you know, at the time was avant-garde,
mm-hmm.
and his estate is very rigid of, if you're going to perform Beckett, you have to perform it exactly as it was written,
mm-hmm.
no changes. But when I see those pieces done that way now, they feel like museum pieces.
Sure.
Versus continuing that avant-garde spirit mm-hmm. of exploration and mm-hmm. evolution of form.
Mm-hmm.
How do you kind of as you say, owner and curator,
mm-hmm.
kind of approach that with what you bring into Roztox?
Well, I prefer the term custodian.
Okay.
I don't like the idea of like owner or boss or like
sure.
some, you know, authoritative figure.
Yeah.
A custodian because I just keep the wheels oiled up and turning, you know,
yeah.
so that people can enjoy the space. Make
yeah.
sure it's running smooth. Sorry, what was the question?
Well, I think that idea of the evolution of, you know, and I think custodian is really apt because I think you do a great job of letting artists come into that space mm-hmm. and do what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was the question sort of like, how am I bringing these things in, or
how are you bringing them in? But how do you, I guess, what are the
curating.
Guiding principles? Yeah, that you try to live by when you're bringing acts or artists in.
Well, you know how people say tell aspiring writers to write what you know.
Sure.
I sort of feel the same with this space in that, like, I'm choosing to bring things in and to present things that I'm interested in. And not so much in a selfish way, but just in a way that means I can talk about these things. I can present them knowingly.
Sure.
And not blindly,
mm-hmm.
For the most part. Sometimes one or two slip in there that, you know, I book something for a friend or whatever.
Yeah.
But mainly it's stuff that I'm interested in.
Yeah.
And I would like to share with this small-ish community.
Yeah.
Which I've grown to really love.
Well, and that's one thing that another point that jumped out to me from the manifesto, which, as Benjamin mentioned earlier, is on the website, the Roztox website. But it was, if you want better media, go make it.
Oh, I love that one.
I do too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's something that, as an artist, like, when I moved to the Quad Cities and, you know, was looking at the theater scene, there wasn't the type of theater that I had been doing in New York. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, well, if I want that kind of theater, I've got to make it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, I think, such a powerful ethos for any kind of creator.
Sure.
You know, I have a good friend who's a filmmaker, Joel Petrakis, and he's, you know, created all these really great kind of indie cult films that aren't mainstream, but a lot of people really know and love. And that's what he always says. He's like, I just started making the movies that I wanted to see.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think
that makes a lot of sense. I mean, exactly. You have to, the media thing extends beyond just actual media and into things like a cafe. If there's no cafe that you like in town, and you're able to do it, then go make it. Go do it. You know.
Yeah.
And I realize that's a heavy ticket there. Not many people can just get open a business.
But, right.
But you know, if nobody does that, then we're just kind of stuck in this stagnant sort of business world where it's like everything is Starbucked and everything is just kind of 53rd Street, you know, like it's just a very like formulaic outline of commerce and a city, and it's gross in my opinion. So
yeah, I remember in places that I've traveled sometimes being so disappointed and getting there and like walking through certain city centers, and I'm not going to throw any specific city under the bus, but seeing like Banana Republic and McDonald's and Applebee's and being like, I flew across an ocean. Yeah. I didn't do that to go to Applebee's.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I feel like it's kind of a cancer. It just keeps growing and growing and growing.
Yeah.
All this stuff, you know. It's American culture, unfortunately. And it's affecting, like, a lot of different places, even outside of here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and it's what makes, you know, when you're traveling or when you're visiting a city or being in your own city, like, it's those local flavors that make it interesting and make people want to come back.
Without a doubt.
You know, we were talking about, you know, local places like Galena or Dubuque or, you know, places nearby us. Like, I don't go there. I don't go to Galena to go to somewhere I can go here.
Yeah.
You know, and that sort of going other places and getting other cultures is what makes travel unique and life unique and fun.
Yeah.
So I appreciate what you do here.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Like I said, it's tough for me to get there because we've got 3 kids and they've got a billion activities we never get a babysitter and you know, but when we go, I'm always like, I don't know what's going to be here.
Yeah.
But it's going to be cool.
Yep.
So let's talk about some of the things you do have coming up.
Yeah. The one I wanted to mention, I'm glad we chose this date because I can plug this show. I have a band called El Cot coming in on, do you have this there?
Yeah. What date is it? November 19th.
November 19th. It's a Wednesday. Not ideal day of the week, but this show is incredible. They played here once last year.
Yeah.
And it's a trio, a Yemeni trio. So they're playing traditional Yemeni music.
Yeah.
But these cats make their own instruments out of like discarded things, like garbage and stuff. It's great.
That's cool.
They're so good.
That's cool.
They're so good. last time they played, they like got off the stage onto the floor and were teaching people in the audience how to do their traditional dance.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's great energy.
Yeah.
Incredible music.
Well, how did you first find them?
An acquaintance out of Toronto he runs a label called We Are Busy Bodies, and he was booking them at the time.
Yeah.
That didn't end up working, but he gave me their information so I could contact them directly. And we ended up setting it up.
Yeah. I love that they make their own instruments. I remember, always remember really specifically, there was an artist you had in a couple years ago who I think was out of Chicago, but he's the cyclist.
Oh yeah, Rob Fry. That project is Flux Bike, I think, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Who takes his rides to the venue and takes his wheels off and plays his spokes and incorporates it. Yeah. Like, there's so much unique stuff out there that is not in mainstream music that, you know, someone who's just casually listening to music or theater or art isn't going to find because it's not, for lack of a better word, kind of corporatized or pushed forward.
Yeah.
You know, and there's so much unique stuff out there, and you seem to have a pulse on that and be able to find those things.
Yeah, well, because I'm not traveling as much as I used to, I'm really trying to, since I'm relatively attached now to this space, and I don't have as much freedom as I did, especially when my mother was alive.
Yeah.
She could watch the shop and I could, you know.
Sure.
Go somewhere for a month or whatever. But I'm trying to bring, because of all that, I'm trying to bring more things here.
Yeah.
And, you know, if anything, if even if five people show up, like, I get to experience that, you know.
Right.
But these shows, like, Alcott sold out last time. So people, you know, if especially if a band is coming from overseas, those shows do well. People show up for them, which I'm thankful for.
Yeah.
Because... you know, I am starting to get grant money through you guys and the Arts Council. And, you know, now that we have this nonprofit set up, I can still pay the artist no matter what, which is great. And a huge weight off my shoulder, because before that, it was just coming from cafe savings. It wasn't great, you know.
Right.
That's a really, really fun way to cannibalize your projects.
Yeah.
To just keep
shedding
money out there.
It's so hard, like, as someone who has produced theater, like, if I can produce a show and break even, like, that's a win.
Yeah.
You know, it's so
breaking
hard.
Even, yeah, you're right, yeah.
Yeah. You know, but like, when you're, you know, we're not in a market where I can charge $75 a ticket or $80 a ticket for a show, you know, which is what I would need to charge to really...
Yeah, to pay everybody.
To pay everyone.
Involved.
And, yeah, and I...
And you have to pay the artists.
Yeah.
Like, that's just ethical.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta do it. And if I have to take the hit sometimes, then I will. But
thankfully,
now I don't have to at the time.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll
see what happens going forward, but...
I was so excited to see you guys get the funding from Illinois Arts Council. Just like, you know, and I know as someone who has started small theater companies and you're kind of making your way from like doing everything out of pocket to trying to get to that point where someone outside recognizes the value of what you're doing, you know, a larger institution and says, we believe in you and what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Here's some money to make it happen.
Yeah, and that takes effort and time.
Yeah.
You know? We've been open 14 years. We'll be 15 in April. But I've been doing this this whole time.
Right.
But only recently did I put a brand on it, Outlet Program, and incorporate it as a nonprofit, which I wanted to do for a long time, but I just, you know... things
well,
get
yeah, you're,
in the way.
You're custodying.
And you're busy. And I'm busy, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, because I have all of those years backing this up, you know, I had something to show. Like, this is what I want to do, and this is what I've done already. So, like, I'm not going to, you know, hopefully people know that I'm not going to, like, squander this money, and I'm actually going to do the thing I said I was going to do.
Right.
But I did want to mention before I forget that the Alcott show, my friend Nick Yek Stauffer is going to open that show.
Okay.
A beautiful trumpet player.
Awesome.
Some electronics. He'll get weird sometimes, but it's great stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Come to that show.
Come to that show. It's November
19th.
Doors open at 7. Show at 8.
Yeah.
How much is it?
It's $10.
$10.
$10 if you buy advance tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Ticket link is on roztalks.com. But easily a $30 show. Easily.
Yeah.
To cover all the costs.
Yeah.
But, you know, Again, grant money helps.
Grant money helps. Yeah. Well, and that's one thing, like, we started doing with my theater company, and we've kind of adopted it at Quad City Arts, is doing, like, a tiered ticketing system, mm-hmm. where we have, like, a low-cost $10 ticket mm-hmm. that we say, like, students, seniors, anyone who needs it, mm-hmm. and then, like, a general admission, $20 or $25, whatever, and then, like, higher tiers of $50 or $75 for people who can't afford it.
Exactly.
And who say, we support what you're doing. Mm-hmm. We're going to buy the higher price ticket.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll throw in some swag or something mm-hmm. with that. But, you know, trying to, because, you know.
Some people can afford that and want to support.
Yeah.
You know, and which is great. We need more philanthropists that are supporting arts and culture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that live, for a long time, It's very easy to gatekeep the arts mm-hmm. with ticket prices or just accessibility of it.
Sure, yeah.
And finding ways, like being able to get grants and keep your ticket costs low mm-hmm. so that people can come in and afford what would be a $30 show for $10.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Especially now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what else? You've got tons of other stuff coming up.
Yeah, well, there's only a few shows this year left. The winter sort of slows down for live music, and I'm not booking nearly as much as I used to.
Sure.
We're only doing a max amount of shows per month would be 5, but really I try to, you know, and the outlet program shows, the more experimental avant-garde and international shows that I'm booking under the outlet program umbrella, maybe one a month, if that.
Yeah.
You know. But, yeah, I mean, we have another great show that I just sorted out support for is happening right when we reopen. We're on a week break right now surrounding my mother's birthday. And when we reopen next week, what is it, on that Sunday, we're going to stay open that night. We usually close at 3 p.m., but we're going to stay open for this 9-piece indie rock band out of Chicago. Really beautiful, poppy, catchy stuff I'm just in love with. But a few friends are in that band. It's a 9-piece. And I was like, you know how big our stage is, right?
Right.
Or like how small it is. And they're like, yeah, we played on smaller. So I'm really curious to like see these 9 musicians with their gear fit on our stage and just rock it. It's going to be cool. Well, so I'm excited about that. That band is called Accessory.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, and that, you know, kind of going back to how I think one of the last shows I went to, a friend of mine, is actually a guy I grew up with in Michigan or went to college with in Michigan, and then we lived in New York and stayed in touch and hung out, Brooke Pridemore. Was playing with...
I know that name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We played at Rodstock's. Uh-huh. And I don't remember the band that he played in front of, but the next band was this pretty rockin' band, but they just played like one like 70-minute song.
Uh-huh.
And it would like...
It's on the tip of my mind, this show.
I know. But like, I couldn't remember... You know, like you kept waiting for resolution,
sure.
and they just kept going and pushing and pushing.
Cool. Uh-huh.
And it's like, those are the experiences that, you know, I find so often in life that my favorite experiences are ones that are unexpected,
mm-hmm.
that are just like,
sure,
I didn't know what this was.
Yeah.
No idea.
Absolutely.
And here was this cool thing.
Yeah, I mean, it is cool to go in blind to something, especially if you know that the person curating it like you know their taste.
Yeah.
You know that you're not going to be let down. You might hate it, but you're going to feel something.
Right.
You might love it. It's just like you're going to walk away with something, you know.
Yeah.
It's going to be an experience.
Well, and that to me is kind of the most offensive thing, like as a theater artist, that you hear is like, yeah, it was fine.
Yeah. It's give me more.
Love it or hate it. Love it or hate it.
Yeah.
It was tell fine. Me, like, I was really uncomfortable during that.
Yeah.
Good.
Right. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Tell me how you felt.
Yeah.
It was fine. It's a knife in the chest, man.
Yeah.
It was fine.
Yeah. Well, have you ever been a practicing artist in any disciplines?
No. I mean, I've photography used to be a hobby.
Sure.
Nothing more than that.
Yeah.
Film stuff. Other than that, no. I've always just been really interested in creating spaces, physical space.
Yeah.
And I have gotten this question a lot over the years. You know, am I an artist? What do you do? Blah blah blah. And now I just say, well, you're in my piece right now.
Yeah.
This is an interactive, temporary installation. Temporary as in like it could be 10 years, it could be 20 years, it could be 40. I don't know.
Sure.
I don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
But you know, it is temporary. All things are, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this is the piece that you're walking into is my piece.
Yeah.
But I also take in from people that work there and customers, so it eventually evolves into a collective piece, a community piece.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, where those people are all contributing.
Yeah.
To that. Well, and I think that's one thing that appeals to me so much about what you do there is, you know, I have a background and still produce immersive theater.
Mm-hmm.
Where people are walking in and getting that experience, and everyone's experience is going to be a little different.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that idea of like, I'm creating a world for you to be in, mm-hmm. and explore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that to me is so much fun. Like, I love big installation art.
Yeah.
You know, where you can just go in and live inside of something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the only difference with this one is that it's functional.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a piece that you walk into. I prefer if people buy something from me because that helps me stay open. But yeah, I mean, I love installation pieces too.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great place in Philly, or it was Philly, called Mattress Factory. Did you ever hear about that
place? Oh, I have heard of Mattress Factory.
Is it Pittsburgh
Factory,
or Philly? I think it's...
it might be Pittsburgh.
I think it's Pittsburgh then. That place is awesome.
It is Pittsburgh?
It's Pittsburgh? Yeah. That place is so cool. And that's like the type of installation work. I mean, it's this whole building. All the rooms are different.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. But that's the stuff that you go into and you experience it a different way than you would experience Roztalks, you know?
Right.
Even though I still feel that this is, Roztalks is still a form of installation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because, you know, I go in there and like you've got the television set up that are mm-hmm. playing old films.
Mm-hmm.
And I never know what's going to be on that screen.
Yeah.
But I know it's going to be something that's interesting and it's going to make me... like, I love art that makes me step forward to meet it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Sure.
That isn't
I like that.
Here you go. Sit back in your chair and eat your popcorn.
Right.
And we're going to do all the work and come to you.
Yeah.
Like, no, I want to step into you and peek around and figure out...
Yeah, yeah. I will say, though, that the older I'm getting, the more nostalgic I'm also getting. So some of these movies, you know, we have a massive VHS collection in the building. So that's usually what I'm playing on those TVs, are tapes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I love putting in an old tape that, you know, evokes some of that nostalgia. Maybe it's, I don't know, Creepshow or Gremlins or, you know, something that's like, oh, this is popcorn movie, you know. This is popcorn stuff, which is comfortable.
Yeah.
It doesn't really challenge you, but it's cozy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, that's with film watching, like, there are certain movies where at least once a year I watch it because just like, it brings back those feelings you had when you first watched it or, you know, and sometimes even those things keep re-inspiring you.
Right.
You know, it's like an album. You know, people always ask that question of, like, if you were on a desert island and could only listen to one album...
Yeah.
Like, you're probably going to get sick of any album if that's the only thing
absolutely.
You have.
Yeah, I can never answer those questions, by the way.
No.
I can't even answer what's your favorite, like, anything. I just don't know.
Because
it changes all the time.
Yeah.
I can tell you what I'm listening to right now, but that doesn't mean it's my favorite.
Right.
Yeah.
Because those, and that's the thing about great artists. They meet you in those moments of your life or why you have a connection to art. There's plenty of things where I'm like, this isn't great art.
Mm-hmm.
This maybe isn't a great song, but I love it because of a specific thing when I heard this song that was happening to me as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And so I connect with it.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
And that's what art can do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's stolen from one of my favorite movies, Dead Poets Society.
Oh, that's but nice. That's a good one. It's a good autumnal movie.
It is a good autumnal movie. Yeah. That New England, like, garb when they're in the peacoats. Love it. But Professor Keating, Robin Williams' character, says, what were we even talking about? He talks about...
I've lost it too.
Yeah. It's gone. Well, that's embarrassing.
It's all right.
But he talks about just being able to have
present
in response to things.
Nostalgia and art affecting you in a way that, whatever, it's fine.
Yeah. I don't know. All that to say, you're doing great things.
We digress.
We digress. Yes. Okay. But you you've got DJ nights where you've got people spinning vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
So if a random film is not your thing, or a live concert,
Film nights are few and far between. We do more in the winter, just booking slows, live music booking slows, and it's just more DJs and film screenings in the winter.
Yeah.
Which is fine. It's nice and cozy in there in the winter.
Yeah. And you've got some poetry coming up with our friend Aubrey Barnes.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's going to be fun. That's a hybrid. That's a poetry and vinyl record spinning DJ night. So that'll be cool.
That's awesome. Are they doing poetry in combination with spinning?
I don't think that is going to happen, but we are going to set the mic up. I believe we're going to set the mic up at the DJ booth. So the poetry is not coming from the stage, it's gonna be coming from the DJ booth, and we've never done that before.
Awesome.
So I'm curious.
Switching your space around
a little. Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Well, Benjamin, thank you so much for chatting today. Anything else you want to get out in the
world?
We're not. We could go however long we want. There are a couple other manifesto points I could talk about, but.
Yeah. I mean, two things that I want to say is that if anyone wants to donate to the outlet program, links to that are on roztalks.com. And that's the nonprofit that I use to bring in all of this really interesting music. And then I'm currently working on the 2026 calendar and some cool stuff in the works that I can't talk about, but it's gonna be cool.
Awesome. I can't wait to see it. Yeah, and you can check out the website, rozztox.com. Mm. Thank you for joining us for Talking Art. It's a pleasure to talk to you. And I'm Ben Gujan, and this was Talking Art.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, Benjamin.